Amazon has everything for back to school. Zebra lunchbox? Check. Cool Adidas gear like t-shirts, shoes, and backpacks? Check. Triceratops folders and pencils? Check. Laser cat t-shirts? Check. Get your back to school shopping done now at amazon.com/backtoschool and enjoy free shipping on millions of items. No need to leave your home or hassle with crowds. Amazon.com. No better place to get everything back to school from A to Z.
This is One-on-One with Jasper Cole, Hollywood's bad guy, and so much more. Actor, talent manager, producer, and more. Now he's sitting down with today's top newsmakers from entertainment, politics, pop culture, and beyond. This is One-on-One with Jasper Cole.
Woo-hoo, all right. Howdy, 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 and welcome to One-on-One with Jasper Cole. This is your host, Mr. Jasper Cole, and we are coming live to you from the Temple Bay Studios right here in Hollyweird, California.
Yeah.
Well, everyone, let me first of all tell you, please go and follow us on social media. Twitter is One-on-One J. Cole. Facebook, One-on-One with Jasper Cole. Personally, it's Jasper Cole Says, and then there's a website, jaspercole.com, or you can just fly a pigeon over my house or something, drop a message. Anyway, I want to give a shout out to my producer extraordinaire, who is rejoining us today, Mr. Dominic Friesen.
Good morning.
Welcome back, buddy.
Thank you.
How's your new heart valve?
My new heart valve. It's good.
Yeah,
it's
really good. Dominic's been on quite a medical journey, and he had a major procedure, but you would never know it. He's like back and ready to go. So
8 weeks in the hospital.
8 weeks in the hospital.
A new heart valve.
Grey Gardens, number two. He may have a book coming out one day about this, because it should have been a reality show, right? In the trenches.
Well, it definitely opened my eyes to how broken our healthcare system is.
Mm-hmm.
All the shit that I saw and experienced myself, actually. So.
Right. It was quite a journey. But what we should do, we'll do a whole show on that one day.
Okay.
But enough about us. Let's get to our very special guest today. We're really happy to welcome a stand-up comedian, an actor, a writer, a producer. I don't know what else he does. Entrepreneur. Lots to come. Please welcome Emmy nominee, Mr.
Yes.
Mikey Winfield. All
in
right.
In the building.
Woo-hoo.
Thank you very much. What
hey,
a
buddy.
Day. What a day. How are
Who
you?
Are you?
Oh, man. Terrific. I'm coming
Welcome.
Off of
God, you got a good
things.
Voice.
Hey,
you
I'm glad.
Great, you got a radio voice.
You know what? I met a voiceover guy last night, and we were just talking, and he was like bringing up, well, I brought up a project, and he's like, how do you know about this? And I'm like, oh, no.
Oh.
You know, I shouldn't
like,
know about
I shouldn't have said something?
Yeah, right. And then I bring up the project, and he's like, that's not even released yet. And then
wow.
he's like, what character? And I name the character, and he's like, wow. And then he pulls out his phone, and he shows me the visual picture of the character
like
that I rehearsed for. It's an
thing?
Animated show, and I'm like, hey,
that's
man.
That's where the money is.
Yeah,
that's where the bucks.
And I told him, I'm like, yeah, man, let's, and we had a great time together. It was just like us meeting randomly in a drink line.
But let's say you were at the Daytime Emmys. That's
yes.
where you were
yes,
as a
I
nominee
was.
For Conversations in L.A. He plays Jeremy. And I was telling him earlier, I got to see I was on the voting committee, so I got to see all the tapes. And they actually make you watch them. You can't turn your, you have to watch the scenes. You can't just like pretend you watched them.
Right.
But you have an amazing part on there. So tell everyone, how did that come to you? How did that part of Jeremy happen?
Right. So, you know, I've been auditioning a bunch for years, you know, and this particular audition, I was in Norfolk, Nebraska, I remember. And they sent me this audition. They were like, okay, but you have to make it by a certain time, and Norfolk, Nebraska doesn't have any transportation to get out of town. So
they wanted you to fly back?
I had to fly back.
Not a self-tape?
Not a self-tape for this one. It was,
wow.
Or was it that I literally was
gonna do
on,
it.
Just gonna do it.
You had to shoot it, probably.
Yeah, so I had to get back, and I managed somehow to end up on someone's shuttle, and I'm on the shuttle for 2 hours so we can get back to, I believe it was Omaha.
Damn.
And we fly out of Omaha early enough to make it to either the beginning of taping or rehearsals, and I loved the character. The character was so loose, it was so Mikey Winfield, I could literally just go in there and just create within it. So anytime I see a scene And I'm like, oh, yeah, I can kill this.
You could kill this.
Then I'm happy about it initially. I'm just like, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully I get it. But when I see that, I'm like, oh, something special is going to happen.
Are you coming back for the new season?
Yeah. So there's a role written for me that I actually have not even seen the content yet because they haven't got to the episode. But it'd be nice to see it. And I'm scheduled to see it at some point.
But and you'll be playing a different part?
No,
playing,
I'll be Jeremy again. Yeah, it's such a profound character. It got, like, crazy, you know, people reached out to me, so it was received well. And, I'm excited about what I can do. And I always wondered, though, you know, like, we had a very explosive emotional scene.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. How do you follow that?
And where can people see that right now? Is it streaming? Does it continue? Is there a place to look at?
Yeah, it's on Amazon.
On Amazon. Yes, Everyone check it out.
Right.
Because you'll see what we're talking about.
I think it's also on iTunes, and it may also be on conversationsinla.com.
Oh, they have their own page. That makes sense. Yeah, check it out, because it's a great, great scene.
Right.
So let's talk about Sacramento.
Yeah.
So what did you think of Lady Bird? The movie.
You know, man.
Where was your part in that?
Here's the thing, man. I enjoyed it, and I tried to find ways to relate. It was just an angle of, like, where I had to find somewhere in it to relate to it.
Right, I know.
But what I was more proud of is that Sacramento is becoming, and I will not call it a mecca at all, but a place, a resource where people are taking seriously that they'll record movies and
Film stuff,
you know? So I'm like, yes, of course. And then we had Traffic. Traffic also was just recorded in, like, Northern Cali near Sacramento, you know, Tahoe area. So I'm like, yes, Sacramento. It's a town, and there's good scenery.
Well, it's the capital.
It is.
No, I don't think a lot of people even realize that.
I think the
capital must be L.A. or something.
For years, that's been a thing. Yeah. Sacramento, it's a nice, cozy, slow-moving town
Is that where you got the, quote, Hollywood itch? Is that where you wanted to start doing comedy? Or how did all this Hollywood aspiration start for you?
You're right. I think the itch started, you know, you're hanging out with the buddies, you're hanging out, you're going places, and you think you're funny, you know? And I'm in college at the time. And I'm taking a speech class. And speech class was my door opener. I'm in speech class. I loved it. I never felt this feeling of being in front of people before. And I'm like, I like that.
And when you say speech class, what was that?
Okay, so, like, that's the requirement for the English degree.
Okay.
So it's literally speech 101.
Gotcha.
How to deliver speeches.
Oratory.
Literally
giving speeches.
Yes.
Which is performing.
Yes, it is.
Right.
So. Which I didn't know at the time. I just took it as a requirement. But once I'm in class and I'm like, hey, I like this.
And you're in front of people.
Yeah, and you have all their attention. They're all looking at you. They're dialed in.
You probably started throwing in some funny.
You know, back then, that wasn't my goal. I was literally trying to deliver a solid speech.
But
then I find
people
laughing, right?
And you're like, yeah, that wasn't funny.
They're really intrigued. I really thought that too. Like, no, that wasn't supposed to be funny. What's going on
here?
See,
that's a natural thing, though.
Right. But that's what you don't know in the beginning. And other people are like, yo, there's something. You should try this. Pursue it, really. And then I ended up in some comedy club in Sacramento, and
were there stand-up comedians that you liked?
There were guys that I loved. I remember just loving Martin Lawrence. He was like, oh man, I couldn't believe when I saw guys like him in front of audiences just owning crowds,
killing it,
and they made a living at it. And that's when it became the reality, is like, guys really do this for a living?
Right.
Like, I don't have to be a teacher, which I was in school to, like, get my English degree. And, like, what ended up happening if you're an English degree? You teach something, you know.
Or you work at Starbucks.
Yeah, right. Or you pursue acting.
Yeah.
Right.
And then you get arrested there. But anyway.
Right. So.
And then do you remember your first getting paid to do comedy? I don't care if it's $10, but
I actually think it was $50, and I had to drive about 6 to 8 hours to Oregon.
So there went the gas.
Gosh.
They went the $50.
Right. They went $50, went up to Oregon, and most exciting time of my life at the time.
See?
Like, I don't care how far it is. Someone's giving me money to tell some jokes that I wrote in some hotel room or just some bathroom somewhere, you know, or working at the store. No feeling like it.
See, and that's the thing. You don't want to ever lose that passion. And yeah. It's probably just grown, right?
The passion's important, yeah. You know, and the passion now is just like you always chasing that next joke.
Yeah.
Like I'm an artist like that where I write daily. It's like part of my routine. And I'm like, okay, let's get the next joke.
Do you handwrite it?
I'm a pen and pad guy.
Index so, cards, just paper, whatever.
Yeah, I have books. Yeah. I buy these books from certain like bookstores and they're like journals and I'm into the graphic of a nice looking journal.
I love that.
Yeah.
Joan Rivers, there was a documentary about her that was out a few years ago and it showed she had these old school like index card catalogs. Like she had all her jokes from like 50 years ago written out and then cataloged, and she still would pull them out, and they were dated, and she'd scratch through and say Letterman, killed on Letterman, which, speaking of, Letterman,
right.
Tell everyone about your experience on with Letterman.
I will, and you know what? That makes sense with Joan Rivers, because she had jokes.
Right.
So she had ba-doom booms and a lot of killer those. So
set
I
up.
Can see how she would use the index cards like that. It makes so
but
much
yours
sense.
But your comedy is more observational.
Very observational, personal, and Letterman, amazing experience. Yeah, I was one of, you know, I was in the last couple years of Letterman being on, you know, his network or the network, you know, and great experience.
Were you a fan of his?
I was. And what I always knew that he started as a stand-up, I knew that he was highly respected amongst the comedy community, and it was great that I was one of the few that were able to do it, because it did have a level of prestige.
Not many
got to step on Letterman stage. So
how did that come about?
So I opened for the Booker early in my comedy career. It was like 07, I want to say, and we never spoke about Letterman. We just worked together. You know, it was at a weekend at the San Francisco Punchline. I'm opening. Great weekend. Boom. Then I want to say about 3-4 years later, we bump into each other in a hotel lobby in Atlanta.
Wow.
It was a college conference, and we just bump into each other. And he's like, hey, you want to do my seminar? I was like, sure. I didn't have to pay. I show up to the seminar. You know, I listen and
it's
I
like
learn
Tony
a couple
Robbins.
Things. It was great.
Paying, yeah.
Right. And then I perform a set that night, because they're allowing everyone to just do a set, and he's, you know, taking notes. And then the next morning, he just calls me, and he's like, I have a spot for you on Letterman. I'm like, wow.
That's
like,
amazing.
In a day. It's just unheard of, and
when did
it's
you
amazing.
How quickly, like a few days later?
No.
Oh, it was...
took months.
Oh, okay.
Because you have to create the set that works, but not only that, I got bumped like 3 times, and I tried to remember everyone I got bumped by, and I couldn't remember. I ended up being on the episode with Billy Bob Thornton, but I was bumped a few times.
And so people understand, that means you're there.
Oh, yeah.
You're in the
means,
green room.
Yes.
You're waiting. And they go long.
But that's common, though.
That's very common.
For other stand-up comedians.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Because we're the last performer on the episode. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you're right. The other guests
Billy
will go
Bob
long.
Billy Bob probably went long-winded.
Or, I don't know what happened. But it was great, too, because I met... In the green room, I remember I met Steve Martin.
Oh, my God.
You know, I was like, oh, man, like, look at this. I got your book. This is crazy, you know.
Was this before or after you did The Office?
So, man, these things went hand in hand. So this was right before The Office.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what I was wondering. Did that have anything to do with The Office?
It
or
did.
That was just an audition?
You know what? That... The Office was an audition.
Yeah.
And it was a great audition. Like, there's few of them when you leave and you're like, that felt
Allison
good.
Allison Jones?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And I was in Sacramento at the time when I got that audition. And my manager at the time was like, hey, man, I don't know if you're interested, but I got your little audition for this show. You know, I don't know if you heard of it, this thing called The Office. Mm. I'm like, stop playing, man. Right? So, and the audition was the next morning at 11. And I was beginning to book a flight, and I was like, man, forget it. I left at like 8 p.m. I just drove to L.A., and I slept out front of Allison Jones casting in my car.
Wow.
Until, you know, and I worked on it. And I worked on the audition that night, you know, and driving up and in the morning. And I don't know, maybe it's what I needed to have a successful audition. Maybe I needed some
that
real weird circumstances.
Like feeling homeless
for
the night.
Yeah, yeah, really. Not all pressure, you know, just laid back. Yeah, something about it.
So you felt good when you went in for
I
that?
I did,
yeah.
I did. And
was it on tape for producers, or did you have to do another?
On tape for producers.
So it was just cast off tape?
Yeah, just cast off tape in the room, and it was a great audition. And what was great, too, is when I got on set for The Office, so many people complimented me on the tape. They were like, man, we loved your audition. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Like, I knew it felt good, but it always feels good to hear it. That doesn't change.
You know that they actually, people are watching it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And loving it.
I love it.
Right. I don't think a lot of actors understand how hard it is, one, to even get the audition.
Oh, man.
And then to make the tape, because you know, they put like 10 people on tape, and sometimes the producers really only say, send me your top five.
Yeah.
So a lot of times our tape doesn't even get in front of the producers.
Right.
So we have to remember that sometimes.
Man, you had me interested, because you're right. Those two went hand in hand. It was like, I got Letterman, and then I did The Office almost immediately afterwards. So, I mean, things are happening now. I'm working, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But do I need to do another late night? Do I?
Well,
do
there's I need some to all these great late night shows right now.
I haven't even pursued late night.
I mean, are they showcasing comedians as much now on late night? You know, it used to be like it was a thing on every show almost, or at least once a week.
It was mostly Leno and Letterman.
Yeah. I do see Fallon occasionally.
Fallon
will occasionally.
I know Conan has some guys
Conan
too.
Has,
Conan.
Okay.
Conan has
Kimmel,
a regular spot. I don't
know if I've ever seen anyone on Kimmel.
Yeah.
But then again, I don't
Seth
watch
Meyer
it every night.
Kimmel is more music.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. But yeah, so yeah. So
interesting.
Before I forget, tell everyone.
You'd be great on Carson Daly.
Carson Daly. Yeah.
Yeah.
On Last Call.
Last call, right.
Where can people find you on social media?
Oh, man. Well, MikeWinfield.com. That's W-I-N-Field. MikeWinfield.com will get you directly to all the social media.
Everything.
Right. So Instagram, Mikey Winfield. Twitter, which I do the most probably. Mikey Winfield. Facebook. It gets you all to that.
Okay. I want to get that out there before.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Tell us about your upcoming movie with Keke Palmer, Pimp.
I love Keke Palmer.
It looks really good. She's and by the way, did you see her post where she's shading Janet Jackson?
Oh, no. I haven't seen her.
Yeah, they're pissed. All of Janet's fans came after her. You have to see it. It's on, I think, her Instagram.
She did recently?
Like last night.
No, really? Yeah. Oh, wow.
Keke. Keke's amazing.
Yeah, Keke's a talent. She's a talent for years. And, it's fun because this project is called Pimp. It's starring Keke Palmer, and it's about lesbian pimping in a very dark story with the rapper DMX also. Mm-hmm. He's a major character, and, you know.
Was he present?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he was amazing in it. It almost seemed, you know, when you see a character and you're like, yo, like, well, did you really do this? His character was very real. And
because he's had some rough times.
Yeah, he's had some issues, and maybe that put him in place.
That's
for
an
that,
understatement. Right? Come on. Right.
Well, bless his heart.
Yeah.
But anyway, so.
So she, just stunning in it. Just
so the, she's the pimp?
She's the pimp. So it's
of
a character we haven't
prostitutes?
Seen. Right, but she doesn't necessarily, she's working on growing her brand, and she's doing this because she learned it from her dad, and she just wasn't the typical girl, and this and that, and yeah.
And who are you?
And I play one of her best homies.
Okay.
So I'm one of her buddies that line stuff up and get things together, and as dark as the subject is and the movie is, I was one of the lighter parts in the movie.
Right.
You know, and I was able to, you know, crack a joke or say something funny or just be a lighter presence in
it. So it's not all so
Yeah, so
dark.
It's not all, but what I love about it, because I was able to view it probably a year ago, was there's so many different emotions.
Wow.
Like, this movie leaves you feeling so many different ways, and there's a few movies like that.
Who directed it?
Christine Krokos.
Okay, another strong female.
Yeah.
Didn't Lee Daniels just come on?
So Lee Daniels, yes, he just signed on as a producer, and oh man, his presence alone is bringing so many new eyes to it. So it was at, I want to say a week ago, this movie debuted in Tribeca.
Huge. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did
right.
you go?
Oh, man, I couldn't.
That's all right.
I couldn't, right? I was working, and I wish. I'm just like, but they're going to do an L.A. They're going to do an L.A.
Good.
Screening.
Because, you know, Lee, back in the day, he put his name on Monsters Ball. That was his, that sort of elevated, I don't think people knew him at all much before producing Monsters Ball. Hmm. Have you auditioned for Empire or Leah Daniels Butler,
no.
his sister, for anything? Or?
You know what? It's like, I get great auditions, so I'm always grateful for what I get. And but then there's a whole nother category of auditions that I'm like, just let me.
But that gives you a whole thing to work to.
It does. Because I'm like, I'm finding this zone of acting that I know how to nail.
Mm-hmm.
There's like, I'm finding my voice as an actor, how to walk in and feel things the right way, and I see characters where I'm like, "Ooh, I know what I would have did,"
right?
You know, and I see choices I would have made, but the opportunities just have to open. So it's
you do a lot of self tapes, also.
I do a few. Yeah, I do. I do self tapes, but I don't mind the room.
No, the room. I always say the room is great, especially if they don't know you, especially if you're getting to know a casting director too.
Right.
I like self tapes, but then what we miss on self tapes is we don't get that. Tweaking in the room, like the caster knows what the producers are looking for.
Right.
So it's a kind of...
You're just giving your rendition.
I try to do a couple of takes, but then, even then that doesn't mean you're hitting what they want.
You just really have to... It's always a home run in this business.
Yeah.
Even your audition tape, it just has to be a home run that day where they're like, whoa, okay.
Because they'll bring you back.
And then they'll bring you in and then they'll tweak you up if they're like, okay, we see potential of this work.
If they keep... I always tell actors, when they keep bringing you back in the same office, trust me, they wouldn't bring you back if you sucked.
Yeah, I got
they don't do that.
I had a couple offices that really bring me in for stuff a lot, and the role hasn't come yet.
Right.
But I want to believe you.
It's true. Yeah. They will.
These rooms are going to happen.
It takes time.
Right.
It takes time. And you look so young, you're going to be playing young for a long time.
Well, I hope so. I am young.
You are young, but I mean, you know.
I get you.
So what's happening on the comedy scene now? Are you performing somewhere now?
Got
gigs coming up?
I'm touring a bunch. I have, you know, I'm playing New Jersey coming up next month. DC's coming up. Tonight, I'm, what's tonight?
Saturday.
Okay.
What's the date?
No, I'm asking because I don't always know when things...
You know what city? Where you are?
You're
in LA.
Not even that. I don't know when you guys release it.
Oh, yeah. Well, it streams for, you know, on iTunes and everything.
So. Okay, great. Yeah. Right. So I'll be at the Comedy and Magic Club. I'm going to do two shows there in Hermosa Beach.
Oh, that's a great club, right?
Yeah. Oh, it's such a comfortable club.
Yeah.
It's so great, you know.
Did you do a comedy store?
I do. I was there last Thursday.
You knew Mitzi? Did you know Mitzi, or had she was that old school? She had already
not so much. We just didn't cross paths like that. I think I was involved in the Comedy Store, but I just didn't cross paths like that. So
or Pauly Shore,
right? I've worked with Pauly. Right, he's an interesting guy.
interesting.
He's an interesting guy.
So tell us about my side of the story.
Oh, right. Speaking of comedy, on the front page of my website, you can find it now. I released a one-hour comedy special. It's a DVD. It's a video. And the reason I released it is because, you know, I've been doing stand-up so long, so I'm sitting on so many stacks of just jokes. And it's like, if you don't do anything with it, there's jokes that you just kind of just fall beneath the wings and you never do anything. So I just wanted to catalog my comedy in a way, you know, and it's a 7-shot production over 2 shows, and I'm really proud of it.
Good
it's
for you.
Very personal, you know, it has some jokes in there, and the reviews are great, and you just move on, and now I'm like, okay, what's next?
Good. Everyone can check it out.
So they can check it out on MikeWinfield.com. Right on the front. It's a stream or download. And yeah, it's just what I do. That's like the most personal thing I do in all of art, because this is what I started with. So meanwhile, I'm branching out to, you know, hosting things or acting. But stand-up is kind of my heart, you know.
I'm always envious because, you know, no matter what's happening on the acting side, you've always got your comedy. You can just go and perform.
Right.
You're not waiting you don't have to wait by the phone for someone to give you permission.
You know what? And I thought about that a lot last night. So I'm at the Emmys, daytime Emmys, and people are really emotional on their loss. Like, we really saw people very defeated. I saw tears and sad faces.
Seriously?
Yeah, they were really hurt people that didn't win. And I'm like, wow. And I'm wondering, why am I not that hurt that I lost? Because I was really proud of my performance. I felt like it had the chance.
It spoke for itself.
You know, and I didn't win. And I'm like, hey, you know, we find another way, we keep going, and I do something else. But is it because I always have stand-up right. to go back to?
I think so.
Many actors are like, this is it. You know, nothing happens it. Here.
Well, especially in the soap world. They just get kind of pigeonholed and stuck in that world,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. So I tried to evaluate.
I think you have the right
and be
attitude.
Empathetic to people's pain. Like, mm-hmm. let me understand where they're coming from because they were really hurt.
Yeah, because they don't, if they don't have
a
job next week.
It's a dying genre as well. So
daytime,
well, yeah, they may not have a job, you know, in 6 months.
Right. That's the thing. Like you're saying, you know you're going to be performing tonight.
So they hate me then?
Probably. Because you're black.
I knew it. I knew it.
Comedy, what is the feeling in the comedy world with the Cosby conviction?
Oh, man. Oh. You know, people are no longer,
Papa
you know,
Smurf.
Defending him. Like, in the yeah. early on, people were like, okay, you know, maybe this
maybe
is a conspiracy.
Women are lying
maybe
or,
this. It's when it was like,
it's
first
a
it was
witch
three.
Hunt.
Yeah, then it was 10.
A 400.
Yeah, and then the number
well,
just kept
jumping.
Well,
we had one of his accusers on about 6 months ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
She was a playmate, and she was pretty candid. And it's pretty hard when you're hearing, it's like reading Beverly Johnson's story, I think it was Vanity mm-hmm. Fair, when she wrote, I mean, it was a very detailed account. It's kind of hard to not believe them, I guess, right?
You know, Wendy Williams the other day was saying back in the early 90s when she was at one of the radio stations, she brokered the story. She brought it up, and Cosby called the station manager. He was like, shut that bitch up, if you know, blah,
oh, yeah.
blah, blah. And they called her in the office and were like, look, you don't fuck with Cosby. Mm-hmm. And so she was on her show. I love Wendy. She was on her show. You'd be really good with her. She was on the show going, basically, you know, and look where I'm at now, Mr. Cosby.
Right.
But so my point is people had tried to bring it up mm-hmm. many, many years ago and talk about it, and nobody was having it.
It was the same thing with Weinstein. It's,
yeah, yeah.
It's just
but in the African-American community, of course, you know, the Cosby show was like...
Mm-hmm. It was huge.
Huge.
You know,
he was such a role model.
One thing is the power of money. You know, money yeah. makes you say, shut up. Shut these people up because, you know, it's going to cost a lot of people their jobs if this thing gets out yeah. of hand, you know.
Yeah.
And but, with his story, it probably wouldn't have resurfaced if he wouldn't have been on a comeback. Right?
Because he was on that comeback with, you know, we have
the new
people
show,
working
yeah.
with him. And he was starting that. He had a tour and he had a new sitcom coming up.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it was Burris, who's the comedian?
Yeah, Hannibal yeah. Burris, right.
Yeah.
Did that.
But thank God for social media and mm-hmm. cell phones because someone was, you know, videotaping
recording.
That performance.
Right.
Do you know him at all?
Yeah, yeah, right. Right.
Yeah.
You know, this is not to veer away, but I think people have a problem separating Bill Cosby the dad versus mm-hmm. Bill Cosby the man
predator
behind mm-hmm. the scenes who lived a very exciting life.
Yeah.
You know? And it's tough to separate those all two,
right.
but you know, I think he should be credited for all the amazing things he did as an artist
right.
and things he did for, you know, communities and colleges and huge things, but he should also serve consequences for, you yeah. know,
I mean,
things that were out of line.
He's probably going to die in prison, right? I mean, he's, what, 90 years old now?
He's 80.
He's 80?
I know. I love how he's only 80, but like 3 years ago, he suddenly had one eye was gone. He had the cane. It's like,
you think he turned it on?
Like, Bill,
oh,
come
he
on.
He jumped yeah. up and like walked normal out
but
of the
did
courtroom.
You hear him
come
scream
on.
Out in the courtroom? He screamed
yeah,
out
he
in third
out.
Person about himself when he said, he doesn't have a plane, you asshole.
Oh, wow.
Because they were
he's
saying
he, at the prosecutor.
They thought he was a flight risk because he owned a plane. And out of nowhere, he goes, he doesn't own a plane, you asshole.
Maybe that's what I just talked about. Maybe that was the Bill Cosby
it's almost like he's
talking to his other
person.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe that was very telling.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't have a plane.
Right.
You know.
He's detached himself from
I think.
Yeah,
I think
he's
so.
Detached himself.
It's very OJ.
You know, I don't believe, though, that high celebrities.
OJ, if I did it, you mean? Is that what you
yeah. Oh, insane. Right.
Yeah.
But does a guy like Bill Cosby really serve time? Does he really enter the prison doors? Like he's not Lil Wayne or Meek Mill. This is Bill Cosby. Will he enter a prison and serve?
Yeah.
I don't believe it until I see it. And
I'm
it's
kind
nothing
of thinking he will this time. Mainly because of if all this other Weinstein, Me Too, because of where we're at right
yeah.
now.
Culturally,
I think
right.
2 years ago. maybe not. Maybe mm-hmm. he would have gotten house arrest or whatever. I think because of everything mm-hmm. with the Me Too movement, mm-hmm. it's going to be tough on that judge not to...
Plus, it was a retrial. They were
this
after
was
him.
A retrial.
This is the
so there's no appeal then? Is well, that what is, it is?
They are going to appeal. And the bad part is he was allowed to leave. I mean, you and I or anybody else with three convictions on sex felonies, three felonies, we'd be locked up that night. Mm-hmm. But now that they let him out, sometimes you get to stay out during the appeal. Hmm. So that might have been their strategy.
But he's under house arrest. I think he has a
yeah, well, I mean, house. He's in a mansion.
Mansion arrest?
So Wendy Williams says he should be put in like, she doesn't think he should go to jail, but he needs to be put in like a bare studio apartment. You know, she said, give him his bread and water. Like they can, in other words, create a prison like thing in a.
Oh no! Wow,
apartment.
That's great. No, just terrible circumstances.
Yeah, he should serve his time like any other sex
yeah.
offender.
But you're but Mike is,
amongst just you mean just amongst just regular
well,
people
he's
though.
Be, he's gonna
be in some sort of isolation.
Yeah.
With pudding,
but so, isolation.
So when
fun.
Trump goes to prison, come on. Like,
so should they have a celebrity prison and they just all?
Well, they
are
do.
Like
you know,
them?
I represented Martha Stewart till she went to prison. And, yeah, she went to they call it summer camp.
She went to Danville, didn't she? Did that
in upstate New York? But it yeah. was more like a camp. You know.
Yeah, but I mean, hers wasn't assaulting women, and I mean this.
No, hers is white collar. Hers yeah. was insider trading.
I mean, he'd be in a federal prison for sure. I mean,
with
I
all the
know.
Other sex offenders.
But he will, but there is a lot of people who still love him, so I'm sure he
yeah,
will be
he
protected
actually,
in prison.
He actually got on a stage, like, in the last calendar year and mm-hmm. performed, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
So he was trying to, like, do something for his image, but there's no repairing
well, he
that.
Was doing that. Remember when they announced he was doing that tour?
He was touring, like, after some of these stuff came out, remember?
And it was after the first mistrial.
Yeah.
He was going to do an awareness tour across the country, and then they killed that idea. It was something about sexual assault awareness or something.
Yeah, it's like Melania Trump, with her platform is anti-bullying.
Right.
And she's married to a bully. But, yeah, I just think the thing about Cosby, which should have been telling, is when years ago he started telling young black men, pull your pants up, and... You know, he was so critical of the rappers and
right.
so sanctimonious. It's, sometimes when people get that sanctimonious, it's like, what are you hiding here? Why are you so...
His horse was too high?
Yeah.
But you got to remember, think about decades of, you know, allegations. Mm-hmm. So many people were covering up what he was doing.
Oh, yeah.
And there comes a point where those people have to be held accountable as
I
well.
I agree. All the attorneys, all the... Mm-hmm. The agents, the big people who were paid
network,
to go find the women,
executives
and,
that
like your part in Pimp, you know,
right.
they go and seek out the mm-hmm. stuff. So it took a village for sure.
Yeah.
He didn't do it by himself.
But just like Weinstein. I mean, he had Mossad agents working for him.
Yeah.
I mean, it takes a yeah. lot to live that life of crime for so many years.
Yeah, but Mike makes a good point. You know, it's interesting if it's just. It's hard to even imagine.
In the literal sense of unbelievable. You know how we throw that word around. Mm-hmm. Me seeing Cosby walk into prison feels mm-hmm. unbelievable. And I can't until I see it.
One of the victims keeps saying she wants to hear the clank, clank. They want to see him, you know, with the cuffs.
Handcuffs.
With the cuffs on. Yeah. So I don't
well,
know.
Well, it's interesting. One of his publicists was on one of the talk shows and likened his situation to Emmett Till, which...
Yeah. Oh, that was bad.
It was just
that's
a bad analogy.
Lynching.
Oh,
that was like, come on, Bill.
They were saying, yeah, basically,
you,
he was being
you don't
lynched,
know
publicly.
Anything about Emmett
But you
Till.
Know what? You know, one of our clients worked on the Cosby Show, a female, and she said that, you know, when she was over on the show, that all the females were warned. All the guest stars coming on, just don't get in a room alone with them.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know.
So it was kind of like a Weinstein within the industry. You know, women look out for each other and just had their warnings. But, you know, you had some like Beverly Johnson and others who just didn't get those warnings. And
or this Lily Bernard that's been so outspoken. I guess she reoccurred on there. She's, but she talked, he raped her like three times. Well, alleged. I mean,
I had some makeup ladies tell me, they're like, oh, yeah, that guy, yeah, I worked with him years ago. He's a nasty guy. Time out. You said, but raped three times?
Yeah, I'm like, thinking that's, I mean...
That's interesting, too. I mean, that's almost a...
Drugged.
Three times?
Three times.
But, like, how...
Why you keep going back? But we won't... Yeah. That's a...
That's a subject. That's a conversation.
Yeah.
You know,
several
conversation in L.A.
Some of the women, I agree, they talk about, you know, that happened the first time, and then by the third time, and you kind of go, well, by the second, why was it a second time?
Well, you can't discredit...
No, I'm not discrediting, but, you know, you just wonder what... Yeah. Why were they there the second time?
I think there's no way
there's
to
a
excuse.
Fear. I mean, they're being threatened. A lot of the times they're being threatened. Look at what Weinstein was doing to his victims.
And then they don't remember sometimes. They can't remember because he drugged them.
And something happened. There's a lot of shame in it, too.
Yeah.
When they wait, you know, you're right, when they wake up. And,
yeah.
But you remember his very early set where he's talking about...
He talks about in one of his comedy
albums. In stand-up?
Yeah. In one of his... old comedy albums, you know, the 78s or whatever.
He talks about drugging women and taking advantage of them.
They played it the other day on CNN. It's funny. I mean, it's not funny now. I mean, at the time.
Is it called like the Dragonfly or something?
Yeah, you know, he's like...
Right, I've heard of that, right.
Yeah, so that was a little bit of a precursor.
He was kind of making a joke of it way back then.
That's when you really feel above the world.
Yeah.
When you can just put it out there.
This is no way, because I never thought he was funny, so that's beside, I didn't get him, so I don't like him anyway, but I wonder if he, at that time in the 70s, when everybody was doing the acid and the drugs or whatever, do you get to a point where he really didn't think he was doing anything wrong? Like, for every woman that maybe complained about it, there had to have been some that did not complain.
But because they didn't say anything?
No, in his mind. I'm trying to get into his mind. Like, is he thinking, well,
no,
Jenny liked it, so I can, you know, Barbara didn't, but these other, you know.
No.
We do hear that Quaaludes was a thing then.
That's right.
And that was a drug of choice, and many people were taking Quaaludes. And
no, but when you're slipping it into somebody's drink and they're not aware of it, and then you're fucking them, I mean, come on.
Well, I think what it is some of the people, he would say, here, just take this little, this is going to help you
have
to relax.
Have an aspirin, and then they're
this
blacked
This is going
out.
To help you to relax.
But it's never an aspirin.
No,
yeah.
It's not a Benadryl. It's not for your allergy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right.
But I don't know. And it's just, we'll see what happens on the appeal. But he's done for anyway.
Is he somebody that you looked up to as a rising comedian?
Well, I love the Cosby Show. You know, it's not until like the last 5 years I explored his stand-up.
Okay.
And you know, when you go back and look at one of his stand-ups, you know, it's he has some funny jokes. You know, he had this Dennis joke that was amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, very graphic, very acted out, and it was a great performance, you know, and...
Well, who are some of the comedians that you look up to?
Man, so
you mentioned Martin Lawrence.
Yeah,
you
Martin
like a Chris,
Lawrence.
Do you ever like a Chris Rock?
I loved Chris Rock,
yeah,
you know. It's a ton of guys I could name. There's guys like Cat Williams. There's
by
Mitch,
the way,
Mitch
I've been
Hedberg.
Told what I look like.
I see it a little. I do.
What? Several times.
Hey.
He said I look like Cat Williams.
That's great. Yeah.
I said, oh, okay.
Yeah, man.
What happened to Cat? He had some...
Nothing happened
times.
To him. He's still touring. He just dropped a special on Netflix.
Specials on Netflix.
Okay.
So he has one more coming.
He has another coming.
Yeah.
Okay, because I don't, you know.
Talented. I mean, there's a few guys.
Kevin Hart kind of took over, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
Do you like Kevin's stuff?
No, Kevin's great, man. Yeah. I like guys, though, that find their own lane entirely.
Like Carrot Top.
You know, absolutely. Like, no one can...
Is that who... That was on the... Yeah, right there.
He's my number one role model. That guy is why I started stand-up. Yeah, you know.
But hey, he's laughing all the way to the bank.
Please. Not no judgment.
Somebody has to pay for all that makeup.
Hey man, we can joke at Carrot Top all we want, but if you ever see one of his performances, you'd laugh. You'd enjoy it. It's just kind of like the thing to joke about. It's the guy to like bash a little bit. But if you ever watch a Carrot Top,
it used to be Dane Cook. Everyone laughed about him because he came out of YouTube. Remember and exploded. Now, does anyone even remember Dane Cook now?
Yeah,
yeah.
He was on Top of the World for.
Oh, God, he had movie after movie after stuff. It's funny how you see certain people, they have their moment. They have their chance.
Hey, but how long do moments really last on average? Like, everyone's not Drake and doing it for 10 years straight.
15 seconds.
You know?
15 minutes.
But it's really, well, some guys get a strong 2-3 years and then, you know.
But I think it's interesting. Like, you've been doing it and you've been paying your dues. Someone like a Dane Cook who just YouTube
MySpace,
exploded.
Boom.
Or MySpace.
Yeah, right.
And he wasn't prepared for it, you know.
There's overexposure to look like Melissa McCarthy. I would be very happy if I never saw another movie with her.
Wow.
Like, I think, well, no, I mean, come on. She's in like 10 movies a year. She's in like 10 movies a year. I just think it's too much.
Yeah.
She's the same person in every movie.
Right.
I think that she's not going to have a career in a year or two because people are going to be sick of her. So I think it's just about knowing when to step back out of the spotlight
or do something different.
That's what I think. Doing something different.
Show people a different side.
You know, I think when characters like a Jim Carrey, they slip into a dramatic role and you're like, you see them different. And you're like, okay.
That'd be great. Like, Melissa played a really dramatic, heavy part.
I don't think she can.
No pun intended.
Mm.
She's lost weight, though. I always think she's really pretty. I was having this conversation about Jennifer Aniston yesterday. I was like, is she really that good?
No.
I mean, it's fine.
And
you know,
it's funny because
we all
did
play
that movie,
the same thing, I guess. But
Cake 2 years ago,
yeah,
they were doing like an Oscar.
They took her makeup off, and but you know, I don't know. I'm not begrudging any of them, but it's like, wow, how much?
That's
more?
All it takes.
How just, talented?
No makeup, Mike.
You want to know? How.
Yeah, no eyelash. You need to take that makeup off.
Like, oh, okay.
Scale it down for the next thing.
I was thinking that, well,
actually,
no, on the talent aspect, there's actors that you've heard about for years, and then you're like, are they really that good? And I would just throw out a guy like Ryan Gosling, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's good.
And then you find a movie on Netflix, and you're like, this dude is a great actor.
A film that no one saw.
Yes.
Sometimes.
And it's like that. There's certain films that really never, you feel like, get what they deserve as far as the exposure, but you're like, you see the talent, and you're like, okay.
Yeah.
This guy.
Yeah, there's the work we do, and then there's the celebrity part of it. And I always say to people, I want to judge the person when I meet them or when I work with them. You hear all the stuff going in, and then that way you're not surprised if they're an asshole to you, but you might be pleasantly surprised if they're nice and you have a good interaction with them. So, because, you know, we hear stuff about actors until we meet them.
Right.
It can be different.
So what is your dream role, like, in a perfect world?
I just want to play a regular, everyday character dude that has so many layers of, like, serious, like, this, some story that's very serious. Then he's funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a real person, you know? So I don't know if you can categorize it as a comedy, you know?
Right.
Maybe it's just a, you know, like certain movies you see, and it has every element in it. Because I think I'm that guy, and I think I can play that, you know. And it, you know, like sometimes you'll see a Will Smith character.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are serious times, and then there's goofy times. And I think that's a very complex character that I enjoy.
Jamie Foxx. You know, Jamie has shown that he can do.
Oh, absolutely.
Drama. Is there any real life person that you'd love to play, like a historical figure or somebody, you know?
Man, you know, I think I'm going to get offered a Jimi Hendrix role.
That's okay. Since you've been sitting here, I've been thinking, who the fuck does he look like? That's who it is. It's Jimi Hendrix.
And man, when I read up on his history and his past and the lifestyle of him, yo, we're
gonna put that out there.
Well, you know,
right,
they're working on a biopic right now.
I think, yeah, someone's working on it. It might be like Andre 3000 or someone who's already has the role. And, you know, they do a ton of these. You never know. They might do another one. But
let's
he's
put that
very
out
intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you see his backstory and if you see the amount of hours he put in to be great and phenomenal.
Yeah.
I love it.
I think Lenny Kravitz for a while was trying to do one also. But, you know, he's only done a little bit of acting or whatever. Okay, we got it. We're going to put that in the universe.
Yeah.
Mikey Winfield.
Let's line
Jimi
that
Hendrix.
Up. I could pull it off.
Yeah.
Pull it off. But you know what? I wouldn't attempt it if I couldn't. Like,
right.
If I'm not able to put in the time, I don't want the role.
Right.
Because I don't want to, like, not do it justice. It's like, why waste all that time?
It was like the Richard Pryor. They've been trying to do, wasn't Omar Epps going to play him?
No. Mike Epps.
Oh.
Right. Omar Epps was in Traffic.
That's right. Mike Epps. But did they ever do it? Or
no, I heard that. It was a recent post that I heard. I felt like from Mike Epps, he says, I don't know if it's going to happen.
Oh, okay. So,
but that changes every day.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Oh my God, the time. Where did the time go?
Where did the time go?
Wow. Well, listen, buddy. Everyone, we've been here with the amazing Mikey Winfield. So
thank you.
Check out his website. Follow his tour dates, MikeWinfield.com. Check him out.
Absolutely.
Follow him.
Thank you.
I know big things are coming for you.
Oh, thank you.
You're a really great guy. You have what they call the it factor.
Oh, man. I love it.
In the room.
I love it.
And it's real and it's genuine.
So, daytime Emmy nominee.
Yes.
Many nominations to come. He'll be back on Conversations in LA coming up for this next season.
And Pimp with Kiki Palmer.
Yeah, Pimp is Pimp playing Kiki's sidekick, helping her with her lesbian hooker ring.
Right. Absolutely.
And the comedy ensues. Anyway, everyone, thanks so much for joining us. Dominic Friesen, thanks so much. And we'll see you on the next episode. Peace out.
Right.
Bye.
Thanks for checking out One-on-One with Jasper Cole. Check out past episodes and get the latest as they're released. Subscribe today on iTunes, Stitcher, and YouTube.
Amazon has everything for back to school. Zebra lunchbox? Check. Cool Adidas gear like t-shirts, shoes, and backpacks? Check. Triceratops folders and pencils? Check. Laser cat t-shirts? Check. Get your back to school shopping done now at amazon.com/back to school and enjoy free shipping on millions of items. No need to leave your home or hassle with crowds. Amazon.com. No better place to get everything back to school from A to Z.